body over mine, his hips nudging my thighs apart, the head of his hard cock sliding against me, rolling over my clit in slow circles. I forgot to argue. I forgot how much I trusted him, and how much I didn't want to. I forgot everything but the rising sea of pleasure and his long, drugging kisses. I'd remember in the morning. That would have to be good enough. For now, I didn't want to fight. All I wanted was Gage.
Chapter 27 Gage. I do. Tate barely waited for the officiant to finish saying, "You may kiss the bride," before he scooped Emily into his arms, bent her back, and laid a kiss on her mouth that was borderline inappropriate for a wedding. Emily didn't look like she minded. My new sister-in-law glowed with joy, the wide smile on her face matching Tate's. Their wedding couldn't have been more different from Charlie and Lucas's the week before. Aside from two close friends, the only guests were family. Our Uncle William had an out-of-town emergency, and while Mrs. W. and Abel weren't strictly relatives, we considered them family just the same. They excused themselves to get dinner set up, and Emily dragged Tate off to take a few pictures with Annalise, who was acting as the official wedding photographer. I took advantage of everyone's distraction to sneak a kiss from Sophie. She wore the same elegant navy blue dress she had to Charlie's wedding, but this time she'd left her hair down, at my request. It flowed over her shoulders, the silvery blonde waves as soft as silk. I couldn't keep my fingers off it. If she'd been wearing white, she would have been the perfect picture of the angel I always called her. I looked down at her, framing her face in my hands, and slid the pad of my thumb over the dark circles beneath her eyes. She hadn't slept more than a few hours at a time since the break-in, waking abruptly after snatches of broken sleep, moaning and murmuring in plaintive tones. I hated seeing her so vulnerable. I'd asked her to trust me, and I knew she was trying. But trust came hard for Sophie. It would have been easier if we'd caught the intruder. We'd made a little progress. The library window was fixed, and the Sinclair team had discovered how the intruder was entering the house, a long-abandoned coal chute that fed into a closet at the back of the gym. Aiden and I had debated sealing it up, but at Cooper's recommendation, we'd left it as is, adding only a silent sensor to alert us if the chute was used. The next time this fucker tried to get into our house, we'd have him. None of that was helping Sophie to sleep at night. Who knows? I might have been in the same shape if she wasn't waking me up so often. As it was, I'd had fitful nightmares myself, flashes of finding my aunt and uncle dead in the library, sometimes seeing Sophie in their place. Blood spilled across her pale skin, her green eyes blank and glazed with death. None of us would relax until we caught whoever was breaking into the house. Annalise had finally conceded that it was unlikely the intruder was her stalker, but she was still jumpy, hyper-alert, and on edge. I doubted she would stick around more than a day or two now that Tate and Emily were married. Sophie let me pull her down the hall to the wine room. Tate, Emily, and Annalise were occupied with photographs in the living room, Mrs. W. and Abel in the dining room, while the rest of the family was sharing drinks at the temporary bar set up in the front hall. It was the perfect time to sneak off for a few minutes. I wasn't the only one with that idea. I pushed open the heavy door of the wine room and was greeted by a startled gasp and a low chuckle. Vance had Magnolia pressed against the back wall, her dress hiked halfway up her leg, his hand on the back of her thigh and his mouth on her neck. Her dark red hair spilled over both of them, matching the embarrassed flush on her cheeks. Over his shoulder, Vance said, "Get a room. I'd get one, but your girl is using mine." He had a point. While we all had rooms in the house, Sophie had taken his, and Amelia had moved into Holden and Tate's. Sophie's hand firmly in mine, I tried to tug her down the hall toward her bedroom, but she dug in her heels. "Not in the middle of the wedding," she said. "Technically, the wedding is over, and the reception hasn't started yet," I reasoned. Lively music sounded from the front hall, and I knew I'd lost my window. As expected, Sophie raised an eyebrow at me. "I'm pretty sure that's the reception starting right now," she said. "And I have to keep an eye on Amelia. She's up to something. I just can't figure out what." I gave in, but not before backing her into the wall outside the wine room and kissing her senseless. Her eyes were hazy and her lips swollen when I finally raised my head. "Now we can go to the reception," I said, my lips against her ear, loving the way she shivered in my arms. I could have urged her down the hall just then and locked us both in her bedroom. A few more kisses and Sophie would be more than willing to be late to the party. I didn't do it. Sophie wanted to go to the reception. She wanted to keep an eye on Amelia. So that's what we'd do. I'd have plenty of time alone with her later. I kept an eye on Amelia as we got our drinks and joined my cousin Holden and his new fiancé Joe by the French doors overlooking the terrace behind the house. Holden had proposed to Joe not long after Tate and Emily had gotten engaged, though they were waiting to get married. They hadn't decided what kind of wedding they wanted. Considering we'd just had two in a row, and Jacob and Abigail were planning the wedding to end all weddings, Holden and Joe just wanted to enjoy being engaged for a while. I listened to Sophie asking Joe about her work and studied Amelia across the room. On the surface of things, she looked innocent enough, but there was a smugness to her happy smile that set me on edge. Sophie was right. Amelia was up to something. Mrs. W. appeared in the doorway of the dining room to tell us all it was time to eat. Tate had insisted she be a wedding guest, and she, in turn, had insisted that she oversee the festivities, considering that it was only family. They'd both gotten their way, and after directing us all to our places, she took her own seat at the table. The seat beside her was empty, reserved for Abel, who Tate had also insisted join the party. Uniformed waiters hired for the evening carried plates through the butler's pantry and set them before us. Sophie sat beside me on the left. Amelia sat to her left, close enough to keep watch on, though, as far as I could tell, she wasn't interested in anything other than her soup. We were just finishing the main course when Sophie saw it, tucked discreetly beneath her placemat. A note in heavy white vellum, folded in half. She was teasing it out from beneath the placemat when I caught sight of the note in her fingers, the curious crease between her eyebrows. "What's that?" I asked, instantly suspicious.
"I don't know," she said,
turning the note over in her hands before unfolding it. "Meet me in my office when Gage is asleep. I need to see you alone. A." I knew that handwriting. The arrogant slash of that A. That fucking bastard. I fucking knew it this whole time. The way he warned me away from her. The way he looked at her. I risked a glance at Sophie, her wide, shocked eyes barely registering through my surge of fury.
"Gage," she stammered. "I don't know what this is. I swear, I don't know why..."
She looked up at Aiden, at the head of the table, and back at the note.
"I don't understand."
I shoved to my feet, tipping my chair over behind me and tore the note from her hands. "I do. And I'm fucking done." I stalked down the room to the head of the table, a tide of rage rising in my chest. He could ignore me. He could put me off. He could punish me for leaving and shut me out. I'd resigned myself to that, was even okay with it. Going after Sophie? Fuck no. Sophie was mine, and this was a step too fucking far.
I reached Aiden's chair in a few long strides that seemed to take forever and reached down, my fist closing around the knot of his tie. I hauled him up, knocking his chair back. I only took a moment to register the shock on his face before I planted my fist in the middle of it. Chapter 28. Gage. Aiden went down hard. His back hit the floor and his skull bounced on the carpet. Then he was up, lunging for me. I met him halfway, arm raised and ready to strike. He hit me with a shoulder to the gut and took me to the floor. Smart move. Aiden had wrestled in high school. He wasn't trained in combat like I was, but on the ground, he had a chance. My awareness dissolved into swinging fists, kicking feet, and grappling arms. Aiden didn't have my skill, but he was driven by rage, all his pent-up resentment and anger and unspoken emotion flooding out through his clenched fists as we rolled. He pinned me, getting in a good strike to my temple before I scissored my legs and threw him off, kicking him hard in the back. I got him in a chokehold for a few seconds, managing to get enough breath to growl out, "Keep your fucking hands off, Sophie!" before he twisted free and I took another fist to the jaw. An unexpected strike to the shoulder had me looking up to see Sophie standing above us, her arms crossed over her chest, a furious look on her face. "You two are complete idiots! I'm not going to watch grown men act like children!" She strode from the room as I stared after her. Aiden let out a roar and lunged at me, catching me distracted, his fist connecting with my cheekbone. We'd fought before. We'd grown up side by side and shared a room most of our childhoods. But we'd never fought like this. Over a decade of pain and anger, of betrayal and disillusionment, of grief and love, spilled through me. Somewhere in the middle of it, I realized I wasn't even mad anymore. Sophie didn't want Aiden. She was mine because she wanted to be mine, not because I declared it so. Aiden couldn't take her from me. Only Sophie could do that. If I hadn't been on such a hair trigger lately, I never would have gone for the bait. Bait. The word exploded in my head in a flash of understanding. God damn it. Amelia. Aiden hadn't written that note. I went limp and fell to my back just as icy water splashed over us. Shock and sputtering, I looked up to see Mrs. W. standing over us in the same posture as Sophie had, arms crossed over her chest, foot tapping, glower firmly in place. An empty water pitcher dangled from one finger. "You boys are too old for this nonsense," she said in a steely voice. "This is Tate's wedding, not a circus. Go sit out back on the patio and cool off. Don't think about coming back in this house until you've worked out your differences. Do you understand me?" "Yes, ma'am," we said in unison. Aiden and I dragged our bruised bodies out of the dining room, ignoring the amused laughter of the rest of the family. I pushed my way through the French doors to the terrace and sat on the top step, the icy slate freezing my ass through my suit. Georgia had been unseasonably cold over the holidays, but the frigid air felt good on my bruised and rapidly swelling face. Unwilling to completely give in, I said, "You still have a pussy left hook." "Fuck you," Aiden said without heat. "Why the fuck did you hit me?" I shrugged and winced at the unexpected pain in my shoulder. "Sophie found a note from you under her placemat," I said. "I didn't write Sophie a note. Why the hell would I do that?" "Yeah, I figured that out while we were beating the shit out of each other." "Amelia." "Bingo," I said. A strangled laugh erupted from Aiden's throat, and he shook his head, pushing his hair back with the heel of his palm. "She told me if we didn't work things out, she'd deal with us her own way." I let out a strangled laugh of my own and felt hot liquid warmth run from my split lip to my chin. Fuck. If my face looked anything like Aiden's, we were both a mess. His dark hair was tangled and matted with sweat, falling over his forehead and almost hiding the swelling around his left eye. I could feel my own eyelids swelling to match his. By morning, we'd have twin black eyes and split lips. People had always said we looked alike. I braced my elbows on my knees and stared down at the slate between my feet. Letting out a long breath, I said, "I'm sorry I left. I should have stayed. I should have manned up and stayed and helped you. I know you hated me for it. I know why you can't forgive me. And I understand." Beside me, I felt Aiden go still, and then his eyes on me. I couldn't look up. I couldn't stand to see the accusation, the blame in his eyes. "What the fuck are you talking about? I don't hate you. What do you mean I can't forgive you? I'm fucking pissed you took so long to come home, and I'm pissed you almost got yourself fucking killed, but..." I shot to my feet and faced him down, finally ready to take the judgment I was due. "I didn't save them," I shouted at the top of my lungs, the words tearing from my heart in raw pain and the sheer relief of draining a wound that had never healed. "I didn't save them. I was here. I was up in my room fucking sulking because I was grounded, and I didn't save them." My knees folded abruptly as if pulled by a string, and I sat back on the step, swamped with guilt and grief. Beside me, Aiden sucked in a breath and let it out. "You had your headphones on," he said quietly. "They were in the library. You couldn't have heard anything." "I should have known," I said. "I was here. I was upstairs. They died, and I didn't save them." "It wasn't your fault, Gage," Aiden said, his voice a low rasp. "Is that why you didn't come home? Because you thought I blamed you? How could you think I would blame you?" "Why wouldn't you blame me?" I asked. "I blame myself. If I'd heard something, if I'd gone downstairs, if I hadn't been sulking in my room like a teenager, which is what you were, a teenager, not super Gage Special Forces soldier, you were 18 and unarmed. If you'd been downstairs, you probably would have died with them. Did you ever think about that?" Aiden asked. "Maybe," I conceded. I had thought about it, but that logic had never felt like absolution. Maybe Aiden was right, and I would have been killed along with my aunt and uncle. But maybe if I'd been there, things would have changed. We didn't know what had happened to them, only that they'd been shot in the library in a crime almost identical to the one that had taken my parents' lives so many years before. In both cases, the deaths were written off as murder-suicides and dismissed. But we knew someone had killed them. We just didn't know why. Without answers, I couldn't stop wondering how I might have changed things. "I'm sorry I've been an ass since you've been home," Aiden said. "I want you to come back to the company. I do. I just..." He stopped and swallowed hard. "I understand why you left, Gage. It was hard here without you. But I understood. You found them. You walked in the library in this house, and you found them dead. I get why you needed to get away. I thought you would come home after a few years, but I figured you just needed more time. And then they told us you were missing, and probably dead, and... Aiden's voice choked off. I tried to speak, and found my throat was locked shut. We sat there in silence, fighting to get our emotions under control. Finally, Aiden reached out and punched me in the shoulder. Pain exploded, far out of proportion to his strike. I must have landed on it wrong when we'd hit the floor in the dining room. Shit. We were immature assholes, even in our 30s. I should have come home a long time ago, I said when I thought I could speak again. Fighting off the tightness in my throat, I said, I should have known you wouldn't blame me. I couldn't stop dreaming about them. I still do. Gage, Aiden said, it's been 12 years. You can't let it take over your life like this. I know, I interrupted. I know. It's not just that. It's the last 6 months, and everything I did, everything I saw the years before that. It's a lot of shit all rolled up in my head, so I can't sleep. And I'm on edge all the time. Yeah, no shit, Aiden said, and I laughed. You were always Mr. Cool, and now you're jumping me at a wedding? Yeah, I said. It wasn't funny, not really, but I laughed anyway. Cooper set me up with someone to talk to. My first appointment is next week. I shook my head and looked out over the back lawn into the moonlit trees behind the house. On the other side of those trees, through the dark woods, was my parents' house, sitting empty and abandoned. I shook my head again. I can't tell you how many times I've sat like this with guys dealing with the same shit and told them all the right things. There's no shame in it. It helps to talk to someone. Don't just bottle it up and ignore it. Then it's me. And I'd rather go without sleep than admit I can't handle it on my own. You always were a stubborn fuck. You going to let me come back to work? Whenever you want, Aiden said with a hint of a smile. It might have been a grin if his mouth hadn't been as torn up as mine. I've been studying up with Charlie, I admitted. I know, Aiden said, surprising me. She tore me a new one, told me what a royal asshole I was and how hard you've been working. The stuff on the jump drive came from me, not Charlie. Once you get through that, you're probably ready to start easing your way in. Sounds like a plan, I said. We sat there in the dark for a few minutes more before Aiden said, so what's up with you and Sophie? I'm in love with her, I said, liking the way the words sounded when I spoke them out loud. Trying it again, I said a little louder, I'm in love with her. I hope she's in love with you, Aiden said, slowly rising to his feet, moving as carefully as an old man with achy joints. I'm pretty sure I looked exactly the same as I stood up beside him. She was pissed as hell when she stormed out of the dining room. Sophie was still pissed as hell when I knocked on the door of her room. She swung it open from beneath my rapping knuckles and glared up at me, her usually sweet face twisted into a scowl, her green eyes fiery with anger. What do you want? Looking down into those burning emerald eyes, I could only think of one thing to say. I love you, Sophie. I love you with everything I am and everything I will be. I'm sorry I acted like an adolescent and tried to beat up my cousin in the dining room, and I'm sorry if I embarrassed you with my behavior. Will you please let me in so I can show you exactly how sorry I am? Tears filled her eyes, turning the green fire to cool smoke. She blinked, and they ran down her cheeks. Reaching up, she traced a finger over the tight, hot skin on my cheekbone.
You love me?
She asked, wonder in her voice. I caught her hand in mine and kissed her fingertip. I love you, I said again. The tears flowed faster down her cheeks, her eyes flicking back and forth as she took in the wounds on my face, her heart in her eyes.
I love you too,
she whispered. Can I come in? I asked. She stepped back and opened the door to let me into her room. Her pale eyebrows knit together as she studied my stiff gait, and she said, You need a hot shower and an ice pack. Or two. Maybe an ice bath. I shut the door behind me and turned the lock. All I need is you. Chapter 29 Gage. I let Sophie lead me to the shower, murmuring over my bruises and split lip, her busy fingers unbuttoning my shirt as she walked backward, alternating between scolding and sympathizing. I ignored most of it. I'd already had my scolding from Mrs. W., and I was more interested in getting Sophie naked than in her sympathy. I worked on her zipper as she turned on the hot water, peeling all that elegant navy silk from her smooth, creamy skin. I loved her body, loved the way she was made. So soft and round in all the right places. The curve of her ass, those full breasts. Everything about her was warm and welcoming, including the way she gasped when I ran my hand down her spine, cupped her ass, and dropped my fingers between her legs. I urged her over the tile threshold and under the steamy spray, watching as the water darkened her silvery hair, plastering it to her face. It stung my split lip, but felt good on my bruises. I didn't object when she urged me to switch places with her, especially since she poured citrus-scented body wash into her hands and rubbed the soap all over my skin. I'd stand there all day if Sophie wanted to scrub me down. She started out briskly efficient, but when she turned me around to face the water and went to work on my shoulders, her stroking hands slowed. Her breasts pillowed against my back as she leaned close, sliding her hands over my chest, stroking me in long swipes, fingers dropping teasingly close to my cock. Her nipples were two hard points when her hands took my length in her slick, soapy grip. She squeezed once, and I had to fight to keep my knees from going weak. One hand pumped my cock, and the other dropped to cup my sack. I groaned her name. Sophie. Just when I thought I couldn't take it anymore, she leaned back and pulled my hip, turning me to face her. Water cascaded over both of us, rinsing the soap from my body as Sophie dropped to her knees and took the head of my cock in her mouth. I tipped my face back into the spray, eyes closed, oblivious to the stinging pain of the water on my lip, to my aches and bruises, as the sweet suction of her mouth chased it all away. Her hand closed over my ass, fingers digging in, pulling me closer, taking more of me. Her tongue fluttered against the underside of my cock, sending shivers up my spine. Before I completely lost it, I pulled her to her feet and turned us around, reaching behind me to sweep bottles of shampoo and body wash and who knew what else off the deep bench on the far side of the shower. Plastic clattered to the tile, and I sat, pulling Sophie onto my lap, facing me. She blinked at me, clearing the water from her eyes, and I watched them flare wide as I sank two fingers into her tight, hot pussy. She fell forward, her breasts against my chest, her mouth sucking at my neck as I pumped my fingers in and out, my cock straining, needing to take their place. Spreading her knees wide, I lowered her, filling her sweet pussy in slow, torturous increments. She was gasping for breath by the time I sank to the hilt inside her. Her mouth lifted from my neck, and she breathed.
Cage. Cage.
The tight quarters of the bench didn't give Sophie much room to move, but she didn't need it. My hands closed over her ass in a tight grip, and I rocked her against me, grinding her pussy down hard, lifting her barely an inch before bringing her down again. And again. And again. Until she went flying into orgasm. Her body clamped down on my cock and I followed her, spilling into her in gasping shudders. When we thought we couldn't move again, we dried off, and I carried her to her bed, sliding us both beneath the covers naked. Now that we'd taken the edge off in the shower, I could take my time. Settling myself between her legs, I did just that. We slept late the next morning, mostly because I woke Sophie more than once, reaching for her in the dark, needing to touch her, to be inside her. Something about my confession of love and hers in return had unlocked any restraint I still had. I wanted to imprint my body onto hers, to fill her with me so deeply I became a part of her, and she a part of me. If it had been up to me, we would have stayed in bed all day. But Sophie, being Sophie, insisted on meeting Amelia at the breakfast table as usual. Unlike Sophie, she let me hold her hand all the way there. I guess she was done trying to hide our relationship. Fighting over her in front of the whole family made hiding pointless anyway. Aiden was already there, the newspaper spread out in front of him, his face a kaleidoscope of greens and purples and blues, bruised and swollen. I took a long look and said to Sophie, "Do I look that bad?" She only arched an eyebrow at me and shook her head. I was taking that as a yes. She busied herself with Amelia, and I looked up to see Aiden sliding me a folded section of the newspaper. He tapped the headline, an article about developments in steel production. "What do you think about that?" he asked. I picked up the paper and began to read, quickly absorbed by the subject matter. Only a few days before, I'd been studying up on both the process and the company in question, as Winters Inc. had been considering going into business with them. I didn't look up until a plate slid before me at the table. Cold oatmeal. Ugh. Why did I have cold oatmeal when I smelled bacon? I looked around the table to see another bowl of cold oatmeal in front of Aiden. His coffee cup was empty, and mine had never been filled. Both Sophie and Amelia were digging into plates of fluffy scrambled eggs partnered with small mountains of bacon and hot bowls of creamy cheese grits. Steaming cups of coffee sat in front of them. Shit. Neither of us had apologized to Mrs. W. for our fight the night before. Sophie looked up and took in my plate and Aiden's, then looked back to her own and Amelia's. She shook her head and said under her breath, "Serves you right. Both of you." "You're not going to share with me?" I asked. Picking up a piece of bacon and taking a delicate bite from the end, Sophie shook her head again. "That wouldn't be fair," she said. "Amelia doesn't have enough left to share with Aiden. You'll just have to take your punishment and then apologize. I can't believe you both got into a fist fight in the middle of a wedding." Looking a little bit ashamed of himself, Aiden said, "It wasn't in the middle of the wedding. It was at the end of dinner." Both Sophie and Amelia ignored his excuse. Sophie slanted Amelia a look and said, "You deserve cold oatmeal too. That was not funny." Amelia's shoulders began to shake. She swallowed hard to clear her throat before her laughter got the better of her and she choked. Through her giggles, she said, "It was hysterical. The look on Gage's face? I thought he was going to explode before he even stood up. Maybe you three didn't think it was funny, but the rest of us haven't had that much fun in years. They used to go after each other like that all the time when they were boys.
Sophie looked from Aiden to me in fascination.
You did? What did you fight about?
Aiden and I both shrugged. Nothing, really, I said. That stuff was impossible to explain to women, especially a woman like Sophie. Sometimes we just needed to let off a little steam. Most of the time, whatever had seemed important at the first punch wasn't a big deal by the time we were done. Sophie would have told us to sit down and talk out our differences. A good fight was more efficient. Aiden and I suffered through our cold oatmeal and went together to apologize to Mrs. W. for our behavior. Just as she had when we'd been kids, she accepted our apologies with starchy formality and a warning to see it didn't happen again. The house was quiet the next few days. Tate, Emily, Charlie, and Lucas all left on their respective honeymoons. Annalise left abruptly after an unexpected and mysterious delivery of flowers to the gatehouse. Despite the extra security, Annalise had taken one look at the arrangement of gardenias and violets, turned bone white, and gone to pack her bags. No amount of arguing had changed her mind. An hour after the flowers arrived, she was gone. Sophie had taken the arrangement, vase and all, and carried it to the kitchen with shaking hands, shoving it deep in the trash. She wasn't as bothered by the flowers as Annalise, but it was close. When I asked her about it, she just shook her head, lips pressed tightly together, and refused to discuss it. Things had been so good, I let it go. Aiden had gone back to work, but for the next few weeks he decided I would stick with him. We split our time, working from his home office in the mornings as he put me through a crash course on the company, and in the corporate headquarters every afternoon where I shadowed him, taking notes and getting up to speed. We hadn't decided what my official position would be, and I didn't care. Like Aiden, I'd interned at the company through high school, learning from the ground up, earning minimum wage and working my ass off. And, like Aiden, I'd loved every minute I was there. It wasn't just the business. It was all the memories tied up in the place. Knowing my grandfather had sat at Aiden's desk, remembering the way I'd perched on my father's lap in the office that would someday be mine. The company wasn't just about money and power. It was history and family. To Aiden and to me, Winters Inc. was just as much the heart of us as Winters House. Being back healed something inside of me that I'd damaged all those years ago when I'd left. A few days after Annalise took off, Aiden and I sat behind his desk in Winters House, poring over a pair of spreadsheets, when an alert sounded from the front gate. Aiden punched a finger at the screen of his phone and put the guard on speaker. "What is it?" he asked.
"Someone here to see Mrs. Armstrong. Says he has information and a delivery from her husband."
For a second, I didn't know who he was talking about. I never thought of Sophie as Mrs. Armstrong. I hated hearing the title of another man's wife attached to her. The most primitive part of me bristled at the thought. Aiden looked at me with a raised eyebrow. I nodded, and he said to the guard, "Let him through." Chapter 30. Gage. Without discussing it, neither of us went to tell Sophie she had a visitor. We waited as a sleek, low-slung sports car came through the inner gates and parked in front of the doors. A tall, slender man with dark hair and olive skin unfolded himself from the car. He was dressed with elegant precision, his suit custom tailored, his shoes shined to a high polish, not a hair out of place. With a look of cold calculation, he scanned the courtyard before he climbed the steps to the front door. Aiden opened the door at the first knock. I looked into the icy depths of the man's dark eyes and a chill ran down my spine. I'd seen that look before.
This was a man devoid of compassion, of pity. A man without the capacity for love or simple human kindness. This was a man who knew only greed and destruction. He opened his mouth and said, "I'm Anthony Armstrong. I'm here to get my wife." From behind me, I heard a soft intake of breath.
Anthony?
Fuck. Sophie. I didn't want her anywhere near this guy. The second I'd realized who he was, it took everything I had not to beat the life out of him. I loved Sophie with every breath in my body, and this man had made her life a misery. He'd tried to destroy her. She'd been afraid he'd kill her. My muscles locked down as a fine, almost imperceptible tremble shook me from head to toe. I would not lose my temper. I would control my anger, my rage. Hurting Anthony would not help Sophie, not in that moment. She needed me to think. She needed me to hold it together. I closed my eyes and took a deep breath, forcing my emotions to settle before I looked at Sophie. She stood beside Aiden and me, her eyes wide with shock, skin pale. As I watched, she started to shake. Ignoring Anthony, I stepped back and went to her side, pulling her into my arms and wrapping her in a tight hold. She pressed her cheek to my chest, still staring at Anthony with those wide, terrified eyes. In a soft tone that pretended to soothe, Anthony said, "Sophie, darling, I know this is a shock. If we could go somewhere to talk, everything is over now, and you can come home." Aiden shifted to block Anthony's entrance to the house. "I'm afraid I can't invite you in. Sophie isn't going anywhere. Since we were all under the impression that you died in a car accident 2 years ago, we can start with you explaining your presence on my doorstep." "You're not going to let me in the house?" Anthony asked, incredulous. I got the impression people rarely told him no. He'd met his match in Aiden. I tightened my arms around Sophie. Everything inside me wanted to deal with the vermin on our doorstep, but I wouldn't leave Sophie alone with Anthony so close. Aiden didn't need my help. Sophie did.
"No,"
Aiden said. "I'm not. Explain yourself or get off my property."
"Sophie, they wouldn't let me tell you," he said smoothly, his eyebrows coming together in a frown as he took in his wife's face pressed to my chest, her arms wrapped tightly around my waist.
Forcing the expression from his face, he gave her a coldly gentle smile and went on. "I've been in protective custody. I testified against my former employers, and the prosecutor wanted me off the street until the case was closed."
"I thought you were dead," she whispered.
"I know, darling. I know it was hard, and I'm so sorry I hurt you like that. Testifying was dangerous, and it seemed safer for everyone if I appeared to be dead. Telling you would have put you at risk."
"That case ended over 6 months ago," I said. "Where have you been since then?"
Hot rage flared in Anthony's eyes as he met my gaze, then disappeared so quickly I wondered if I'd imagined it. In the same cool, gentle tone, he said to Sophie, "We wanted to make sure the dust had settled before I came back to life."
"Who is we?" I asked, suspicious. "You and the prosecutor? You and the U.S. Marshals Service? I assume that's who had you in protective custody."
"Of course," Anthony said, turning his attention back to Sophie. "You should never have had to go back to work, sweetheart. Damien was supposed to see that you were provided for, taken care of. He's been dealt with, and now it's time for you to pack your things and come home."
At those words, Sophie shook harder, her breath tight and short.
Warm tears soaked through the front of my shirt, and I realized she was crying. I'd seen her wake from nightmares about this man, seen the fear his memory evoked. But I don't think I truly understood how bad things had been until I felt her fall apart in my arms. "Sophie isn't going anywhere with you," I said, slowly and deliberately. "Sophie's home is here. With me. We are her family. She's getting a restraining order, and then she's filing for divorce. You can contact her through our lawyers. Aiden will get you the information." I didn't wait for Anthony's response. I swung Sophie into my arms and carried her down the hall to the library where she and Amelia had been reading before Anthony arrived. Amelia looked up in surprise, then shock when she saw Sophie in my arms and heard the sounds of her quiet weeping. "Tell Mrs. W. we need a tea tray," I said. "Tell her to make it strong and sweet." Amelia hesitated, clearly wanting to ask what was wrong. "Now, Amelia," I said, working to keep my voice gentle. With a worried glance at Sophie, Amelia left. Sophie raised her head off my chest and tried to climb out of my arms. I sat on the couch and pulled her closer, stroking her hair back from her tear-stained face. "Angel, it's okay. He's not going to get to you. You never have to see him again. You're safe from him, I promise." She drew in a shuddering breath and said,
"I have to leave. He's going to come back, and I have to leave. I can't stay. I can't let you protect me like this. I can't. I can't."
"Shh, Angel. It's going to be okay. I'm not going to let anything happen to you."
"You deserve better than this. Better than me. I stayed with him. I let him hurt me. I'm not strong enough for this. For you."
"Sophie, no." It was like she didn't hear me. She closed her eyes and sobbed so hard her body shook with it. It felt like she cried for hours. Amelia returned with the tea tray and waited patiently until Sophie finally ran out of tears. I hadn't wanted to leave her while she was crying, but I needed to talk to Aiden. I needed to make sure Anthony Armstrong was gone. I settled Sophie into the couch and stood. Crouching in front of her, I wiped the tears from her cheeks with the pads of my thumbs and tried to get her to meet my eyes. Her green gaze was dull and fixed on the carpet. "I need to go talk to Aiden," I said softly. "We won't let him near you again. Do you understand?" All I got was a tiny nod. I kissed her gently and straightened. Amelia slid beside her and pulled Sophie close, tucking Sophie's head against her shoulder and stroking her arm. "I won't be long," I promised, and slipped from the room.
Chapter 31. Sophie. I wanted to call Gage back, to beg him to pull me into his arms again, to promise one more time that he could keep me safe. My worst nightmare had come to life the moment I saw Anthony at the front door of Winter's house. Worse than the beatings. Worse than the fear that he'd kill me in a fit of rage and bury my body in the woods. I'd had 2 years of freedom. I'd found love. I was happy. And then suddenly, he was there, telling me to come home with him in that calm, icy voice I knew too well. I felt that voice deep inside, freezing me, chilling my heart and stealing it from Gage. I couldn't love Gage. I couldn't be with him. He deserved so much better than a woman who had married a monster. A woman who had stayed with that monster after he'd unmasked himself. I thought I'd forgiven myself for that. Maybe I did forgive myself, but I was still a frightened, broken thing. Anthony had hurt me, and I'd stayed, too weak and afraid to leave him, afraid he'd kill me, afraid he'd go too far in his rage and bury me in the cold earth in the woods behind the house. I should have run. I should have taken the risk. I'd faced pain so many times, But when it came down to it, I was too afraid of dying to reach for freedom. Gage deserves so much better than a woman paralyzed by fear. He deserves so much better than a shattered mess. One side of Anthony, and I fell to pieces. Gage had survived 6 months as a prisoner of war. He'd never given up. Gage had escaped. I'd never asked him how many times he tried to get away, but I'd bet it was more than two. He'd fought for himself. He deserved a woman who could do the same. Amelia's gentle strokes on my arm centered me after my endless crying fit. I hated that she'd seen me weeping like a child. I lifted my head from her shoulder and sat up, scrubbing at my face with my palms. "Drink this," she said, pushing a teacup into my hands. I sipped lukewarm, overly sweet tea. Without thinking, I said, "I need to leave. If Anthony's alive and we're still married, I can't stay here. I can't be with Gage. I have to leave." "Don't be foolish," Amelia said in her best no-nonsense voice. "You need to stay exactly where you are. We're your family, and this is your home. Gage loves you. I know you love him."
"He deserves better than me," I said, needing to get it out, to hear the words spoken aloud and make them real. "He fell in love with me because I was here and I'm convenient. But he's so much stronger than I am. I'm so scared. All the time. I thought I was getting past it, but one look at Anthony and I fell apart."
"Sophie," Amelia said, trying to soothe me. I wasn't having it.
"No, you don't understand. He hit me, and I stayed. He beat me and kicked me like a dog, and I stayed. How can I ask Gage to love a woman like that?"
Amelia handed me a cookie and said, "Eat this. You need sugar in your brain. You're not making any sense."
"I'm making perfect sense," I snapped back, her brusque manner sparking temper that should have been extinguished by all my tears.
"Rubbish," she insisted, pushing the cookie into my hand. "Eat. If I can't have it, I don't want to see it go to waste. Perfectly good shortbread. She knows that's my favorite."
The familiar grumble brought me back to myself a little bit more. I straightened, taking a bite of the cookie. Salty, buttery, sweet shortbread melted over my tongue. I was the only one who knew that Abel baked shortbread, because it was Mrs. W.'s favorite dessert, and he'd been sweet on her for years. I hadn't yet figured out if she returned his feelings. At the thought that I might have to leave Winter's house without ever knowing, new tears sprung to my eyes. I blinked them back. No more crying. I had to figure out what to do. I nibbled the rest of the cookie, took a sip of tea, and tried to make sense of my roiling emotions. A part of me wanted to run out of the room and find Gage, to burrow into his strength and love, to let him protect me as he'd promised he would. I couldn't. I was still trying to process seeing Gage and Anthony standing almost side by side. They were so different. Anthony's elegant, smooth facade covered the heart of a monster. Gage was so strong, body and mind, his heart loyal and true. How could a woman who'd chosen the monster deserve the hero? There was a weakness in me. A weakness had led me to marry Anthony, had convinced me to give in, to stay when I should have kept trying to run.
"Stop it," Amelia said in a sharp voice.
"What?" I asked.
"Whatever you're thinking, stop it. I can see it in your eyes. You're doing his work for him, you know."
I stared at her, baffled. "What are you talking about?"
"Your husband. You're doing his work for him. He wants you scared, so you'll do what he says and go back to him. And here you are, convincing yourself that you somehow deserve less because of him. It's not true, and you know better."
"Amelia," I said, "it's not..." Impatient with my protests, she cut me off.
"What would you tell me? If our places were switched, what would you tell me?"
"It's not the same, Amelia. It's complicated."
"It's always complicated, Sophie. I know you have more backbone than this."
"Because I won't let you have your cookies?"
Because you've survived everything he did to you. He used you. He tried to grind you into nothing. And you survived.
I shook my head. The shortbread turned to sawdust in my mouth, and I put the rest down on the tray.
You don't understand. I didn't leave. I stopped fighting, and I didn't leave. I gave up. I was afraid.
Bullshit, Amelia proclaimed in a crisp voice. You survived. You've already told me. You tried to leave twice, and the second time he caught you, he almost killed you. So you decided to survive, and then fate handed you a way out. You underestimate yourself, Sophie. You think that strength is fighting, is kicking and screaming and yelling, or imposing your will on another, the way he did to you. But sometimes strength is in enduring. It's waking up every day and facing the pain, knowing you'll do it again and again for as long as you have to. There are a lot of ways to give up, Sophie. You didn't choose any of them. You kept yourself alive long enough to escape.
If he hadn't died, I'd still be there, I said, choking a little at the thought. I wanted to believe Amelia was right. I wanted to see myself the way she saw me, as strong and brave.
Maybe, she said. Maybe you would. Maybe you'd still be waiting for that chance. Or maybe he would have been arrested when they got someone else to testify against those people he worked for. You don't know. We'll never know what might have happened. You only have what did happen. And what did happen is that you took a job with us at Winter's house, and you fell in love with Gage, and he fell in love with you. There is no way on God's green earth that boy is going to let you leave this house while the man who hurt you is out there. I promise you that.
I'm married, I said, and the words felt heavy in my mouth, sticky with despair. I was married. I was committing adultery with Gage, and I hadn't even known it. I was tied to Anthony, and I'd been dragging him into our bed. I swallowed hard in revulsion at the thought.
Aiden has an excellent divorce lawyer, Amelia said, handing me another piece of shortbread. He needed her to get free of that viper he married.
How long does it take to get divorced? I asked, turning the novel thought over in my mind. Divorce. Anthony was alive and we were still married, but we didn't have to stay that way.
I have no idea, but we'll find out.
I ate the second cookie mechanically, thinking hard. Amelia's voice interrupted.
Do you love him?
No! The denial erupted from my mouth before I had time to think. No, I don't think I ever loved him. But not now. Not after the first time he hit me. Amelia reached out and squeezed my hand.
Not Anthony, silly girl. I meant Gage. Do you love Gage?
Oh, I said stupidly. Gage. I didn't have to think about that. The first night we met, he'd scared the heck out of me when he grabbed me in the dark. I remember the way he'd smelled my neck, and a tiny smile curved my lips. He'd been all raw energy, strung tight, and yet he'd apologized and walked me to my room. If I hadn't fallen for him that first night, I'd been well on my way after we'd shared that horrible tea. I was head over heels by the time he kissed me, tasting of chocolate cake and Gage. So sweet and so strong. Fierce and gentle. How could I not love Gage?
Humph.
Amelia made a sound of dismissal in the back of her throat and reached for a cookie. Out of reflex, I smacked her hand. She scowled at me and said,
You were so love-struck staring into thin air. I figured you wouldn't notice if I snuck a cookie.
I always notice when you sneak cookies, Amelia Winters.
You are so head over heels in love with him. You can't even answer a question when you think about him. How can you possibly consider walking out of this house? You'd tear him apart.
He deserves better, I said again, though every time I repeated them, the words felt a little less true. Maybe he does, Amelia agreed, surprising me. Isn't that for him to decide? This isn't about what he deserves, it's about what he wants. And he wants you. That boy has suffered through so much already. I never thought I'd see him happy again, the way he has been with you. Don't take